Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bill Drive. It is day one of organized team activity. The first day of OTAs. The Bills have 10 OTAs scheduled over the next 3 weeks or so. That means they can do more extensive practices, 7-on-7 drills, 9-on-7, 11-on-11, no live contact and no real pads being used. The Bills, one of 16 NFL teams beginning the organized team activity portion of their offseason right now. An additional 12 teams start their OTAs tomorrow. They are still voluntary, but the Bills have had strong attendance at all of their offseason workouts so far. Bills on the field right now, expected to wrap up day one of the OTAs in about the next 30 minutes or so. Indianapolis Colts have signed Western New York native Chad Kelly, the nephew of Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. Kelly, who was a tryout player during the Colts rookie minicamp earlier this month with the off-the-field problems, released by the Denver Broncos the day after he was arrested for criminal trespassing for entering a couple's home last October. Chad Kelly, a seventh-round pick by the Broncos in 2017, pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor, second-degree criminal trespassing, sentenced to 1 year of supervised probation. Chad Kelly, who spent his 2017 rookie season on IR because of knee and wrist injuries, suffered at Ole Miss. He played one snap prior to his release from the Broncos last season. Chad Kelly gets a contract and is in camp now with the Indianapolis Colts. Eagles defensive end Chris Long, the reigning Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year, is calling it quits after 11 seasons in the league. He made the announcement Saturday night on social media. Stanley Cup playoffs, Zdeno Chara, the captain of the Boston Bruins, had to miss game four of the Eastern Conference Finals because of an undisclosed injury. He skated before practice yesterday. The Bruins swept their series against Carolina. They wait for the winner of the Western Conference, either the St. Louis Blues or the San Jose Sharks. The finals do not begin until next Monday. NBA playoffs, Western Conference Finals tonight, game four, Golden State at Portland. Warriors lead it 3-0. They can wrap it up tonight. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. It is hour two of the show. Welcome, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We talk about a variety of sports in our little office over there. Mm-hmm. And I think I made the pronouncement today. I've been avoiding a lot of hockey playoffs and just portions of NBA playoffs. But now, with the Warriors on the verge of clinching the West, getting set for the NBA Finals, I think it's time for me to tune in, Steve, even though the 9 o'clock tip-off tonight will wreak havoc on my energy level tomorrow. Just saying. You know, I can't shut up today. It'll be, if I watch that game tonight, which will probably go to a 11:45, yes, this is an old man complaining here.
Mike Francesca and fall asleep on the air.
Huh?
Murph, wake up.
I might not be that bad, but I feel like
tip-off was so late.
Stephon Curry has been outstanding. They're playing without Kevin Durant, which makes it even more interesting. I feel like I got to plug in to the NBA playoffs tonight.
It has been a lot of fun. As much as I love all our guys on the NFL side of it, the between game and the studio analysts, they bounce back to it half times and between games and stuff.
Yeah.
They're great. The insights they provide and the energy that they provide and the humor they provide are really stellar. The games speak for themselves. These NBA playoffs are as good as I've ever seen from top to bottom, all the way back a round or two. They've been a lot of fun. And you know, the Houston round of the playoffs against Warriors was really pretty a good series, even though it didn't go seven. I thought it was really fun. So a lot of great storylines and stuff. Yeah, this is a really good year for NBA playoffs. I'm glad you're jumping in late.
Have you been watching?
Some. This weekend, I was so busy this weekend I couldn't watch any of it.
Right.
And I didn't watch any of the hockey playoffs either, although I do have a little bit of – I did catch a couple of – I'm kind of – Sharks. I watch the Sharks when I'm not watching any other team, when I'm not watching the Sabres. And, you know, they're up against it now. They're down 3-1.
I've heard really strong NHL fans say that this year's Stanley Cup playoffs have been not worth watching because of the teams involved, because of the officiating issues they've had. I've heard a couple of – not several, a couple – really strong hockey fans say, I'm not following it. I'm not interested this year. Is that the case?
A little bit of that is the teams involved. And it's, well, you know how I feel sometimes. The way the league seems to be run when it manifests itself on the ice like it does sometimes, like when something happens, and it's like, why don't you replay? You have replay. Why don't you replay that and show? You know, like the hand pass that was a goal the other day. It goes all the way back to game 6 of the Dallas series in the Buffalo with the Stanley Cup Finals. No goal. All the way back to that. Another year where they put a – you know, Hasek's got his foot against the post and the puck goes in outside the post. There's a hole in the net. Yeah, they don't go back and fix that either. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, once in a while you get to that point with the NHL where you're like, it's idiotic, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure they can look at the NFL this year with that thing that happened in the Saints-Rams game and say, yeah, you're idiotic. Well, you know.
A little catfight between leagues.
But, yeah, that happens like once in a generation in football.
Yeah.
It happens every series. In the NHL. So I'm with you. I get it. Sometimes it's frustrating to watch it, particularly if you don't have a dog in a fight. You know?
We're going
to
talk replay in the NFL and a little bit later on in the show. Want to get you back to our Twitter poll and our topic of the day. OTA is still going on, day one today. If you're Bean and McDermott, the Bills Brain Trust, where do your eyes go first at today's OTA? What do you look at first when you step out on that field? We put up the question for you. You can phone in a response, 803-0550 here locally or outside Buffalo, 888-550-2550. That's toll free. You can vote on Twitter. We've got 1,700 votes in already on the Twitter poll, and more than half of you, just over half, say your eyes would go first to quarterback Josh Allen, 53%. 32% say you'd look at the offensive line first. Only 13% say first-round draft pick Ed Oliver first, and 1% have somebody else in mind. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Terry on the line in Rochester. Terry, do you have any thoughts on this topic? Hello, Terry.
I think Josh Allen should be a great player for the Bills.
Okay.
And the question I'm calling into is that this is the first time I've called on your show.
Welcome.
And having Steve there, I've always had a question regarding Doug Flutie and how he was sort of handled by the press in Buffalo and how the players thought about Doug. I know Steve.
So what is the question, if you would, Terry?
I guess the question is, as far as what Steve thought about Doug Flutie and how he was handled by the media and being pulled from the Miracle game down at Tennessee.
Any thoughts on that, Steve?
It was a strange setup, no question about it. I think the media handled it the way they should have handled it. I don't remember having any problem with the way it was handled by the media. I think it was a strange occurrence, no question. Doug had played really well, and they got to the end of that season, and Rob Johnson got inserted back into the lineup. A lot of people suspected that Ralph Wilson, the owner, had stepped in and said, "Listen, I'm paying this guy all this money. I want to see him play." And to be honest with you, Rob Johnson played well enough for that team to win that game. If one bad special teams play at the end of that game doesn't happen, they win and they go on. So it seemed to me you can flip a coin. Both those guys played had productive times here in Buffalo. I think Flutie was a guy that kind of had the spark in him. And Doug Flutie, because of the kind of player he was, he always had the feeling that he was exceeding expectations. And Rob Johnson, the kind of player he was, he always had the feeling with his contract, he always had the feeling that he was an underachiever. And they could have had the exact same game, but yet there was that perception about each guy. So I think I don't have a problem with the way the media handled it and the club handled it the way – listen, nobody over there was trying to lose the game. So I'm thinking they tried to make the best decision they could, Terry. Thanks for the call.
Trying to look ahead maybe to the 2019 season as opposed to going back 20 years into Bills history, but – thanks for your call. Where do Bean and McDermott's eye goes first during today's OTA? That's looking ahead, right? Kind of looking at today. What do you got on the tweet sheet there, Steve?
Yeah, from Tiffany. She says, I'd be focused on any new addition to the defense. Oliver has such an exciting upside with unique speed and power combined. There are also There are so many ways the coaches can deploy him across the D-line. He's going to be a nightmare for the opposition to game plan against. And
that's why Tiffany is...
Because she agrees with you.
Yes.
Because she agrees with you 100%.
Not just agreement, but she's right. There's something interesting. I heard somebody talk today on the radio on the morning show on GRC. I'm not thinking about the defense. The defense is as it was last year. And I'm thinking, I'm not so sure about that. I think they have plans for Ed Oliver, kind of schematic plans that we might not know what we're looking at for Steve, and I think Tiffany's onto that. That's not – look, I said offensive line would be my first choice
right. In
today's poll, but I do think there's really something interesting that's going to happen with Ed Oliver and that defensive front. I really do.
And that's why we put the three choices we did, Josh, the O-line, and Ed Oliver, because Ed Oliver is the kind of the guy that looks to be – for a guy who's drafted by any team, you pick it, this guy's in the perfect spot here in Buffalo. Right defensive scheme, right spot, right guys around him.
Enough good players around him
exactly.
So they can take a few chances maybe with that
and an established defense.
Yeah.
They were top five defense a year ago. So he could explode. Who knows? And that's a lot to ask for a guy. Just, hasn't lined up for a game yet. But still, I think it's intriguing. That's why you might be over there watching him in these OTAs. Also, from the Bills monster on the tweet sheet, offensive line, so many combines, so many new people. The only constant is Mitch Morse. They need to build continuity at that position as well, at the offensive line. And that's what we said, too, early on, Murph. You and I both thought we would probably watch the offensive line, mostly because I want to see who's lining up.
Yeah.
That's the big question.
Me too.
Even if you don't sit there and watch them, at least you sit there and say, okay, there's that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy. Okay, right? And then you kind of say, all right, who's the first guy in after that?
Yeah, and look, we know, I know, how they line up today, how they line up tomorrow, how they line up in 2 weeks. That could change. But yeah. I just want to see initially, how do they get these guys started, right? What are they looking at first?
It's so it's a curiosity thing, no question. I don't even care how they're playing today. I just want to see who they had their eye on,
yeah.
Who they think is going to be there.
Yeah, how do they envision this thing setting up?
Right.
I think it's
wild. Of course, Mitch Morse is going to be out there. And, of course, Deion Dawkins is going to be out there. That's where it stops. There's three other spots. So you got, I think maybe Cody Ford is probably at right tackle, right?
That's what they said they're going to
Okay,
get
so then
going.
I'm thinking Spencer Long is the other one. All right.
Which guard does he line up?
Which guards he line up and who's the other guy? Because they got a ton of guys they're looking at. There we go. That's why we think the way we think.
Let's hear what you think. Give us a call. We got lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills, what is this first day of OTAs? What do you think it's like? What are they going to first? Happy to discuss that with you. I want to bring up this, Steve. And we were joking this morning about how a couple of weeks ago Josh Allen goes to the Dolphins, and we spent a lot of time talking
Josh
about
Rosen.
Or Josh Rosen goes to the Dolphins. We spent a lot of time talking about Rosen and the Dolphins and what does it mean and are they still tanking, blah, blah, blah. The last couple of weeks, because of the events of last week, we've spent a lot of time on the Jets, the New York football Jets, who fired their general manager last week, Mike Maccagnan. And they've got their head coach, Adam Gase, acting as interim general manager, probably a placeholder, even though he felt comfortable enough to make a trade of a former first-round pick last week, which is amazing. And now the rumors started coming out last week linking Peyton Manning to the vacancy as Jets GM. Peyton Manning. Maybe returning now. We know the backstory here, right? Peyton Manning apparently recommended his former coach Adam Gase to the Jets as a plausible head coach candidate. But now Peyton Manning as a general manager, he's already turned down several requests to broadcast games, Monday Night Football for ESPN. Peyton Manning as general manager, would the Jets even consider naming Peyton Manning, the great player that he was, their general manager? What I guess you look at Elway as Elway would be the model, right?
Well, yeah.
How has that worked out, by the way?
Well, they got
a Super Bowl.
They went to three Super Bowls.
With Elway?
They went to two Super Bowls anyway. They lost one to the Seahawks, and they won one against Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Elway's had everybody's crushing John Elway for his job. He won. I mean, then – he won a Super Bowl, and he is the most active general manager in regards to quarterbacks of anybody in the NFL. But, that would be the thought. Peyton Manning would come in and rebuild the Jets and give them some stability. And it's been said, the acting owner Christopher Johnston, he's not really looking for a traditional GM. He wants a guy that's going to like envelop the room. He's going to kind of overtake, almost like a president, of the whole place. You know, yeah. Have to give him some power. This is the same guy that recommended Adam Gase for the job as head coach, and it's like a pebble in a calm pool, Murph. So let's say that Peyton Manning goes there, starts to make these things, and he and Adam Gase are friendly, no question about it, because Gase was with him in Denver. He liked him. He recommended him for the job. Would Peyton Manning ever fire him if he stunk?
No.
Right?
No, he would not.
So if he can't fire him, you better be winning with a first-time GM.
Yeah.
That's a big ask.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, wrote about it late last week over the weekend. He said, rumors are flying within league circles that the Jets may make a run at future Hall of Fame quarterback Peyton Manning, who has been periodically been linked to NFL management. Gase would be one of the few guys, he thinks, to draw Manning back into football. And this is really kind of fun writing. I like this. Let me see who wrote this. I want to give him credit. Kyle Koster, never heard of him, writing for the Big Lead NFL, said, Manning is very much the white whale in both broadcasting and front office circles. He's right.
Yeah.
Right? He's the big fish. He's the guy that you get, you promote, you sell some tickets, you say, we're good now. We got this great former quarterback, Peyton Manning. But, actually, I'd like to think there are some – there's something of a resume you have to be a good general manager in the NFL, right? And yes, right. A resume like Brandon Bean, where you work in personnel for decades, you know? You spend your whole life learning how to be a general manager, how to handle the cap, how to make trades, how to evaluate talent. God bless Peyton Manning, a great player, a Hall of Famer, a surefire lock Hall of Famer. But he has nothing in his background to indicate he could be a general manager.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why. I told you this. I thought Peyton Manning was going to do this exact same thing with the Tennessee Titans when their owner Bud Adams passed away and Amy Adams Strunk took over, his daughter. I thought it was the perfect fit. She would just hand the keys to the building to a guy like Peyton Manning or a guy like John Elway and just come in and say, hey, run our operation and try and win some ball games. The thing about Peyton Manning that makes him different, you always get this thing about when he was playing, hey, he may be the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't know that he was the greatest quarterback of all time, but I'll tell you this, Murph. He was one of the most important quarterbacks of all time. Before Peyton came into the league, quarterbacks were not given the amount of responsibility and freedom and power on the field before him. Once he started coming, remember back early in his career, he started doing all those hand gyrations and hand signals. That was his idea. He wanted to do that to get the defense, to dictate to the defense. He started to do that. I remember Carson Palmer. I sat down with Carson Palmer about in the early 2000s, and Carson Palmer, after a game the week before against the Colts, I sat down with him. I said, what happened last week with the Colts? What did you think about Peyton? How did he look? And Carson Palmer got this glazed look in his eye, and he started to look off into space and talk about Peyton Manning for just like 15 or 20 seconds. He goes, yeah, I told my coaching staff, my guys, I said, we got to get to that. We got to get to that place. What Peyton did in that game last week against us was something we've got to do. Personnel, formations, substitutions, dictating to the defense, pace, cadence. He named off all of these aspects of running an offense that Peyton was doing as a young quarterback. Then Carson Palmer was going, we've got to get there.
Steve, that is great stuff, but it is entirely different to be an NFL general manager. You're not running an offense as a general manager. You don't even need to know what's going on in the offense.
You're right, but here's the thing. That mentality of wanting to know everything, of wanting to figure it out and get on top of everything, and that desire to be an expert is what would make him – and now certainly, Murph, you're right. There's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be things he's got to learn. Because nobody – these inside the draft room videos you see from every team, a little brief snippet from – nobody goes in there. Players certainly have never gone in there. You don't know how to act. How do you get a hold of another chin? You don't even know how to pick up the phone and call the guy, right? You've got to learn. You got to see that done. You got to see what the conversation goes, how it goes between general managers. Peyton Manning's never witnessed any of that.
He's never evaluated talent,
right?
Really.
He's got a lot to learn, but he's the right type of guy. Now, are you willing as the Jets to give the keys to your organization to a guy who has all of those lessons to learn? With a first year head coach, and all the free agents, the team's kind of really built already. Are you willing to do that?
I mean, no.
Peyton Manning is the white whale. You want him in your organization in some capacity, right?
Yeah.
He's the unicorn. But what are you going to, what are you going to have him do that he's trained to do? You can't play quarterback.
I say, I think Elway is an outlier in Denver. I do think he has worked and developed himself into being a passable NFL GM. He's kind of failed miserably on getting a quarterback. But at least don't you get the sense that Elway is a hands-on GM who knows how to look at talent, how to evaluate talent, maybe quarterbacks accepted?
I'll give you a perfect example. You remember Elvis Dumervil?
Yeah. Yeah.
Denver forgot to – he didn't even know to put the facts into the league. Elvis Dumervil became a free agent. Elvis Dumervil became a free agent because they didn't know how to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
That's John Elway. That's a that's what think about it.
Jets also, and this is interesting, this came up over the weekend too. So the report was a week ago that the friction between Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan, some of it had to do with Le'Veon Bell, right? The running back that they went out and signed to a ridiculous huge contract. The Jets signed him. The report was that Adam Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell and certainly did not want to pay him as much as they paid. So now the chatter is that they may be looking to trade Le'Veon Bell. In fact, John Clayton, highly respected former ESPN man, now a radio host in Seattle, said on the Fan in Pittsburgh, people asked him, could Le'Veon Bell be traded? John Clayton's quote, if there's a suitor, I could absolutely see the Jets trading him before the start of the season. Man, really? You pay him that much money, he's already earned $12 million via signing and roster bonuses. You know the deal. He's kind of held out of some of their offseason work, which has not endeared him to Adam Gase. So they'd have to eat $12 million in exchange for him playing zero games,
right?
Which is crazy. But could Le'Veon Bell be traded away by the Jets?
It'd be like giving $12 million for what, a second-round draft pick? Something like that? Or a third
for
round?
Le'Veon Bell in a trade?
Yeah.
There's still money owed him. Bill Bonrell writes that a team that acquired Le'Veon Bell before the season, they get him on a four-year, $40 million deal, which is not bad, right?
That's not bad.
That's shady territory, right?
Right. In this day and age.
Bill Bonrell says it doesn't seem like there was a significant market for Bell at 13 or 15, but maybe at 10. So, yeah, somebody might talk themselves into thinking we need Le'Veon Bell. But did the Jets talk themselves into making that deal?
And let's be clear, Adam Gase, it's not that he doesn't think Le'Veon Bell is a great player. He does. It's one he thinks they overpaid to get him.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell is a great player. No question about it. We all agree on that. But the problem is he feels like the Jets blew too much of their cap getting this guy.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He's fine with Le'Veon Bell being on the team, but now he can't get another player and a half. You know, talking about dollars and cents, you can't buy another player and a half with the money that you already gave to this guy. So that's the problem Adam Gase having. He's fine with Le'Veon Bell. He just wishes he didn't make that much money.
2 weeks ago, I don't think you were here, right? We had Rich Cimini on. You were not here. Covers the Jets for ESPN.com. He's writing now that a possibility would be a one-and-done arrangement for Le'Veon Bell, and they trade him away in 2020.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
2 weeks ago, Rich Cimini told us Le'Veon Bell was fine. Didn't matter that he was not in camp working out voluntarily with the Jets. Why do you say that's not going to happen, a 2020 trade?
Well, okay, so he comes in. He has this really great year, right? Or it's got to be one or the other. It's got to be to exaggerate to make it clear. He has an awesome year. 1,300 yards, say 12 touchdowns, right?
Okay.
Okay. Why would you trade him then?
Exactly.
Why are the Jets going to get rid of him then?
If you're Adam Gase, you swallow pride, if that's what it is. And say,
he says, oh, wow. You know what? I was totally wrong. I am so glad he's here, right?
Yeah.
And if he stinks, why trade him for a bag of footballs? Because that's what you're going to get for him. Nobody's going to trade for Le'Veon Bell, who's taken out. He's got a guaranteed $30 million or guaranteed whatever. He's got guaranteed money coming in. He takes it out of gear, and he's coasting through the entire season. Nobody wants him.
Right.
So then you can't trade him because you're going to get, a sixth-round pick for him? So it's not going to happen. The one-and-done thing will not happen.
Because
if he plays good, you ain't trading him.
Jets remain fascinating, don't they?
Oh, my gosh.
And look, we are not – I am not. You may. Look, I like
to see – For all the right reasons.
I was going to say, I like to see the Jets kind of struggle through their offseason. But I'm not since the Jets came here and beat the Bills last December, I'm not counting that as a win or a guaranteed two wins. Yes, they've got turmoil right now in May. We're 4 months away from the season. They've added enough talent, and they have a pretty good second-year quarterback that I don't think you can discount their chances of at least beating the Bills, if not, you know, winning 8, 9, 10 games somewhere in that.
They've got some guys.
Yeah.
They've got some guys.
Great
draft pick
and Quentin Williams.
And Adam Gase knows what he's doing offensively.
Yeah.
You can say what happened, you know, kind of went away from him in Miami. But his first year in Miami, they were in the playoffs. First year, they were in the playoffs. But, yeah, they've got some guys in the Jets locker room for
Back
sure.
Back to the Bills. First day of OTAs. If you're Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott, where does your eye go first during today's organized team activity? They're kind of winding down. They should be off the field here in a couple of moments. Mark is on the line with an idea on that. Mark, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, I was wondering, we have a whole bunch of new receivers. We got a whole bag full of tight ends, and we got some other receivers and free agency. And I'm wondering if any of them know where they're supposed to be going. Do they know their routes yet? Take a look at that.
No, absolutely. Believe me, that's one of the things we spoke about last year. There were some issues going around. Remember, we had Kelvin Benjamin on the squad last year. He was the veteran presence out there. And even last year, even into this regular season, we had heard rumblings that, you know, guys were making mistakes, mental mistakes.
Lining up mistakes.
You can't have that. So I think that's one of the things that is on the docket to be changed this year.
The receivers coach was changed, which I think will go a long way towards that. Veterans have been in here 5.5, 6 weeks. The rookies have been in here a couple of weeks. Yeah, I mean, we didn't see today's practice. I'm sure there's some kinks to work out, but I don't think that's going to be a problem this year.
You'd think not. And plus, they're not going to go through flawlessly in these practices. It's early. I mean, they're just starting to learn these words. They're just starting to learn these concepts. Most of these guys are new. The concepts aren't, but the words are. So what the Bills call them is different than what the Cowboys call them or the Ravens call them and all of that. An out route isn't an out route here. It's a jig route or whatever. You can call it a different name. So they have to learn all of that, and they do have to learn up how to line up. But that's what this is for, is to get that all under your belt. There's going to be some mistakes made, but hopefully and, you know, stereotypically you think, okay, he made the mistake once and he never makes it again, because he learns his lesson. That's hopefully where they're going. But, yeah, there's a lot of new faces and a lot of new moving parts. There's going to be some mistakes made out there mentally and physically. That's why you practice.
Yep. Mark, thanks. We're going to come back with more talk about the Bills and where do you look first if you go out and take a look at OTAs today and more on some of these other issues as well. Feel free to join in on the phones or on Twitter. We're back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Steve Tasker, 7-time Pro Bowler.
Used to be the real deal. We're telling Tyree has no idea. He did. Yeah.
Tyree Jackson is with us. Bills quarterback, undrafted rookie free agent, just off the field. And I mean, minutes ago you were on the field over there, right?
Yes, sir. First OTA was great.
Was it?
Yes.
What made it great? What was good about it?
It was just fun to get back out there, you know, play football with the guys. And although we're rookies and we're learning a lot, it was just fun to get out there and compete.
When the Bills signed you, it made sense to, you know, us over here for a lot of reasons. One, from Buffalo, you know what it's like up here. You know the fan base. You know the Bills. You know, you're kind of hanging around the city. You know things. Secondly, you're exactly the kind of quarterback Josh is, right? Big, strong, athletic, big arm. You can do things, and you play the game kind of like he does. So if something happens, you had to go in, nothing else changes. It seems to make sense to us, does it?
Yeah, it was awesome to get the opportunity to come to Buffalo again and be back here, you know, talking with Coach McDermott. And I just love their staff, Coach Dable, Coach Dorsey, everyone on offense. So it was an exciting opportunity. And once I got the opportunity, I had to, you know, come here. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyree, and I don't want to forget about this, so I'm going to ask now, almost out of sequence here, but you had a big weekend, right? You walked at graduation at University at Buffalo, what, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday? This Sunday, yesterday.
Sunday, yesterday. What was that like? You graduated already, huh?
Yeah, I graduated in December and got the opportunity to walk this spring. It was awesome. You know, it was huge for my family and, you know, all my loved ones. And to be able to show my kids that one day, it was a very big accomplishment. And that was, you know, my mom's main goal when I went to college. It was nothing about stats or football. It was all about graduating. And to do that for her was special.
What kind of degree?
I got social sciences interdisciplinary degree.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Awesome,
that's big.
Man. That's Thank great. You. That is big. I was telling you before we sat down, I did the same thing when I came. I was a fifth-year guy. So I had all my stuff done. It was great because that really freed you up for the Senior Bowl and the Combine and all that. Really let you say, well, I'm going to focus on and look at it, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. I wouldn't have been able to go to the Senior Bowl without graduating. So for me to even think about the NFL, my family was huge on graduating. So once I did that, they were happy when I declared early and, you know, put my name into the draft.
Senior Bowl, we're back to football now. Senior Bowl was big for you, wasn't it? That week of practice and even the game, you kind of opened some eyes, I think, down there.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was another opportunity to compete. Coming from a small school, you always carry that chip on your shoulder. So going against, you know, the SEC guys, the Power 5 guys, it was an awesome opportunity. And I feel like I took advantage of it and learned a lot of football.
It's almost exactly what the Senior Bowl is for, right, guys from not the Power 5 conferences, to show that I can play. I can do a little bit here, right?
Yeah, definitely. You got to carry that kind of that swagger and that chip on your shoulder when you go into those environments.
What are you going to remember about the Senior Bowl?
I think just, you know, getting the chance to go out there and compete. I think the game was the funnest part. Once you're out there and it's live and it's not practice, guys are flying around, they're trying to come get you, that's the funnest time. So I think the game was really fun.
When we talked to you at the Senior Bowl that week, it seems like a long time ago now, in late January there, but you were kind of in the middle of just getting going, I believe, with Jordan Palmer and that group, Josh Allen and those guys out in California, right?
Yeah.
What did they do for you? What was done? What did you get out of that sequence this past offseason?
Just definitely got the chance to learn a lot of football, learn a lot about the game. I think the X's and O's was the biggest thing going to California. Jordan's a great coach on the field, but off the field he's tremendous and, you know, taught me a lot of things about the game of football and kind of prepared me for moments like this going into OTAs, how to study, how to take notes. So I'm very thankful for that chance to go work with him.
Do you go back? Do you spend time to go back with him at all?
I haven't decided yet. I know some guys will go back for that break we have. I might go back for a week or two and get some work.
And how much familiarity did you get with Josh, not knowing that you're going to be teammates, obviously?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a great guy. Someone I got kind of close with and got the chance, you know, work with, but also hang out with. He's a really good dude, really funny. So, you know, he's definitely – when I got the chance to come here, I knew that it'd be a great opportunity to learn from a guy like that.
Yeah, Darnold's out there as well. Did you rub up against him as well?
Yeah, we were all out there competing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the combine. How did you think the combine went for you back in February then?
Yeah, I thought it went well. For me, I'm just so excited to finally get here and to play football. The combine and all those things were really fun and great opportunities to, you know, showcase what I had. But going out here and playing football is what we're here to do. So I'm very excited for, you know, OTAs and
sure.
training camp.
Can I ask one more combine question? I'm watching it the Saturday quarterback day. And Steve Smith, like, adopts you and is in your ear. Was that a distraction? Was that a distraction?
No, not at all. Yeah, he kind of got on me a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, after and throughout it, throughout the rest of the process, he had kind of, you know, put me under his arm and talked positively about me. And even after that, he was telling me he thought I did really well and stuff like that. So people only saw him kind of getting on me. They didn't get to see the chance of him, you know, kind of helped me out and telling me good job.
I'm sitting there watching him say, leave him alone. He's trying to work here.
Right, you're trying to concentrate. And you're like, get out of me. What feedback did you get from NFL teams, your agent, all of that stuff? What feedback did you get after the combine?
Yeah, it was very positive feedback. And, you know, the thing with the draft, it's just so complicated. You never really know. But throughout the whole process, I was hearing a lot of, you know, positive things.
Yeah.
You know, so you go undrafted, but I mentioned to somebody, I might have written this actually, a piece on the website, how you get here undrafted, you've been here for a couple weeks, and if there was disappointment, and I'm sure there was, you never reflected that. You never showed that in your time here with the Bills the last few weeks.
Oh, no. It was awesome. Once you walk into the new facilities, you go, you know, go to work, and you finally get the chance to, you know, do what you love and play football, there's no regret. There's no, you know – you're not, there's no regret. You're just doing what you love. You're finally here. You're finally in the NFL, and you're learning from the smartest coaches in the, like, in the league. It's just awesome. It's just a great opportunity.
So what are you, what feedback are that, what's Daboll telling you now? What do you need? What's he want to see more from you, less from you, that kind of thing?
Yeah, our mindset in the quarterback room is just compete and get better each day. It's a process. You know, there's going to be times where you mess up and things go wrong, but it's all about competing and improving each day and just, you know, putting your best foot forward every time you step out.
Tyree, they got to teach you the offense. You got to learn the offense. Do they also get into quarterback mechanics? Have you had work on that? And if so, from who? From Coach Dorsey? Or
I think, yeah, I mean, I think Coach Dorsey does a great job, you know, coaching me up and doing those things. And then it's more so about X's and O's and just learning the playbook, you know. It's unfamiliar. You're not used to it. Something new to you, another thing to learn. So just really diving in head first and absorbing all the knowledge.
You know, day one, you kind of notice, you know, Josh is the guy. He's and kind of things are focused on getting him better. How has that helped you watching him and how things are focused on him, getting him ready? What's that told you about maybe getting there or playing your role on the team?
Yeah, everyone has a role. You know, Josh is obviously the starter and the franchise guy, and it's awesome. You got to learn from him. And, you know, when you're out there, learn visually. You got to, you know, steal reps. That's what we always say. So when he's taking a rep, I'm in my mind, I'm taking the same rep. What would I have done there? Oh, that was really cool how he did that. So just learning, you know, in those moments.
Terry, I can't help but think that your role expanded, changed for the better just about a week ago when the Bills announced that Derek Anderson was not coming back, retiring. All of a sudden, there's snaps for you. There's attention, right? You got to feel like you kind of heard a door open a little bit when Anderson decided not to return, huh?
Yeah, for me, it's just the same mindset every day. No matter how many people are here or what's going on, it's just improve each day. You know, I have to focus on myself and what I can do each day and each night to improve and get better and, you know, put my best foot forward every day when I come out there and, you know, kind of show my ability.
What's the biggest difference between the UB locker room and the – I'm not talking about the paint job. I'm talking about the guys in the locker room. What's the biggest difference between that locker room and the one you're in now?
I think just the age difference. I think that's the biggest difference from college to NFL is the age difference. You got guys with kids your age or older, right. And right. I think that dynamic is just different from college to pros on any team. So, I mean, I enjoy it, though. Those guys are very knowledgeable, and I think the best thing about this locker room is those guys, everyone kind of loves each other. As soon as we walked in, we were treated the same, and, you know, they've kind of put their arms around us.
Last question I have for you. With your years at University at Buffalo, how much – there's 91 players here. How much time do you spend answering questions about restaurants and places to go and what's going on in Buffalo? A lot?
That's funny because my freshman year, throughout my time at Buffalo, I always used to get on the guys from Buffalo, and I'd be like, you guys are from here. Like, where are we going to go eat? What are we going to go do?
Right.
So now I go into this locker room, and now all of a sudden I'm the guy that's from here, and they're all asking me these questions and getting on me. I told my teammates back from UB, and they were laughing about it. But, yeah, I'm that guy that has to, you know, tell them where the restaurants are and tell them all the good places.
Not a bad problem to have.
No, it's not.
I was going to say, they're your worst things to have along with you in your first mini camp, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Tyree, we know you have meetings to go to. Thank you for joining us here today. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
Tyree Jackson, Bills quarterback. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Back to the show. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. We had Tyree Jackson in here. That guy, asked him the question. I admire the way he never seemed to brood much about not being drafted, and I really like his upbeat energy, Steve. I mean, he comes bouncing in here, does, what, 7 or 8 minutes with us, right? You got to like that about a guy. He doesn't seem intimidated. He doesn't seem overwhelmed. He seems genuinely excited and upbeat about being here. I like that about him.
He's got a skill set. He's got a physical package that you know translates well to this level. And I think think about it. I mean, how perfect? Well, I said it right off the top. It's the perfect spot for him. He's got a starting quarterback that he is a mirror of, and he's got that physical arm. He's got the ability to run. He's an athlete, and he's got that huge arm. They're the same guy. And if he does develop, he's going to develop into an offense that was built for somebody just like him.
Yeah.
So I think it's awesome.
You were on that before the draft even. You were talking about Tyree. And I understood what you meant, but I didn't put much stock in that. But since then, we both heard Bean and McDermott say that, essentially, right? He's got the same kind of physical setup that their starting quarterback has. Look, here's the point. Here's the issue, and it's not an issue for me, but I don't see Tyree being ready to fill that role for a year or two.
No.
So it's hard for me to think about him as the same kind of guy as Josh.
I could see
he's a couple years away from that, isn't he?
Yeah, I could see Matt Barkley being the backup quarterback here in Buffalo for another 5 or 6 years. I mean, literally, I mean, a long stretch. He's a 5-year vet now, 6-year vet now, and he could play into double digit years, Matt Barkley, particularly if he does foster a really good working relationship with Josh. Because, you know, if Josh starts to knock it out of the park, he's going to have some say over who's in the room with him. If he needs Matt Barkley to get him ready, Matt Barkley stays as long as he wants to. And that's kind of the way it works, because it's that hard to get a quarterback ready to play. And if the quarterback needs the guy, that's how it works. So Matt Barkley could be around for a long time. And listen, we saw it as soon as he took the field. Matt Barkley's an NFL quarterback. So they don't have any problems about putting him out on the field in certain situations. But there's no doubt Tyree Jackson, as the third guy, he's got some developing to do. He's got a lot to learn, obviously. He's not ready to play, but he's got time to learn. He's got two guys ahead of him, and we'll see how long it takes him to get game ready and start turning heads in the practice field.
One thing about Barkley, we both mentioned this morning how we were around him Friday night and Saturday in the Frank Reich thing, and I look at the most time I've spent with Matt since he's been here, right?
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Just as a solid guy, but kind of a smart, thoughtful guy. And you listen to Matt Barkley, and you talk to him, you have a conversation with him, and you think, of course, you're a quarterback. Yeah. You think like that.
We had that casual dinner on Friday. Got the chance to meet him and his wife, and they talked a little bit about their kids and, you know, how, you know, just solid, very solid. I was really impressed, both with him and his wife. It was really nice to hear from them. Because, you know, he's a Southern California quarterback. He had these preconceived notions.
Yeah, you almost we have could a bias.
Not,
like,
I could not have been more wrong.
Me too.
Him and his wife, they were just great, and I was glad to get a chance to get to know him a little better. So, yeah, Matt Barkley, I think, has a chance to become, like, for lack of a better, but the next Frank Reich, right? I mean, the guy that is there and becomes an iconic figure, not even being a starting quarterback.
Quarterback talk. This one to Frank Reich's Indianapolis Colts. They have their fourth quarterback, fourth arm in the quarterback room, and it is Western New York native Chad Kelly. Tried out for the team during their rookie minicamp and signed to a contract today. Former seventh-round pick of the Denver Broncos in 2017 out of Ole Miss. Chad Kelly, 25 years old. He was second-team All-SEC in 2015 at Ole Miss. He suffered a season-ending knee injury later that year. He was Mr. Irrelevant, right? He was the last pick, seventh round, a couple of years ago. Had a wrist injury, recovering from that. He went to the Denver Broncos and got into the off-season stuff. Or no, it was in-season. It was last October. Released by the Broncos the day after he was arrested for criminal trespass for entering a couple's home in October. He's got a road back here. He may, according to, I believe, Ian Rappaport and others, he may even have a suspension in the works from the NFL. And he may just be a camp arm for the Indianapolis Colts. But
yeah.
I'm happy for him. Let's see. Can you pull it together and win a job? Let's see. Let's see you do it.
Well, he's a Buffalo kid. So, you know, there's that. And let's face it, it's been a roller coaster with him. He had a really good year and a half at Ole Miss. But he's been kicked off as many teams as most bad coaches. You know? I mean, he struggled to keep it between the lines off the field.
Got into trouble at Clemson.
On the field, there's no doubt Chad works hard, really hard, to get better and to do everything he has. But, you know, his off-the-field problems have, you know, it's a lot like Duke Williams here with Buffalo. It took him a long time to get back to have another chance in the NFL. I'll tell you this, because Chad plays quarterback, he's getting and he's got some physical ability, he's getting another chance.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Colts have four quarterbacks on the roster right now. Of course, the top two, Andrew Luck, who's not going anywhere. Jacoby Brissett, probably solid as number two. They have Philip Walker as their third quarterback. He was on the practice squad last year, so he would seem to have a leg up on Chad Kelly. But he's getting a chance. And the fact that he got a chance from Frank Reich, Jim Kelly's buddy, longtime buddy, is notable and interesting. And Kelly put out a post on Instagram today making note of that. Can you read that? Because I can't.
Yeah, it said, congrats on the recent signing of my nephew and godson, Chad Kelly, to the Indianapolis Colts.
I know that he's been through a lot and has made some mistakes in his life. But I've spent time with him, quality time with him over the last few months, and I see a different Chad. I'm pumped to see that what the good Lord has planned for him for the next chapter of his life. You can't change the past, but you can surely learn from it. I thank God for giving him another chance. Go get him. Chad, Uncle Jim is ready and excited to see you on the field. Again, it's time to turn the page.
Yeah.
Wow. That's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that, Jim just kind of said, I think, what many of
Jim's
us think.
Jim's in his corner. And there were times, too, like every young kid, where Chad kind of rankled the fact that every time he went. It's a little bit like Nick O'Leary was here. Every time he was here, everybody wanted to talk about his grandfather, Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Chad goes through that all the time, every day here in Buffalo. He's Jim's nephew. And that, I get it. You know, that's kind of a pain, you know. But I'll tell you this. In this instance, it got him two chances in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, with John Elway, who John Elway openly said, listen, I talked to Jim, and Jim kind of gave him the vote of confidence and told me what it was about. And that was the reason. He took him the last pick of the draft a couple of years ago, and like you said, and now, of course, with Frank Reich being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts and signing him there, that speaks for itself.
Good for him. I hope he pulls it together and makes a strong bid for a job there.
I think we're all pulling for him. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys in the league who have made a lot of mistakes who you're not really pulling for, right?
I don't like to admit that, but you're probably right. Yeah.
Chad's mistakes, hey, you know, I was early 20s, too, in my life, too, so I get it, and I am pulling for him.
Hey, we're talking about the Bills a lot here today, and as we move into our third hour, we will continue to talk about it. We can discuss with you what you think of Tyree Jackson, who just joined us a minute ago. Our Twitter poll, so the first day of OTAs is over, 9 more to go, and then they get into the mandatory minicamp in mid-June. But when they took the field today, where did Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's eye go first? What do you think? We've got phone lines open to discuss. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Or you can vote in our Twitter poll. And that one's going pretty much the way you might expect. Where do Beans and McDermott's eye go first during the OTAs? Well, the vote on Twitter is quarterback, as it always is, right? We say it all the time. The vote on Twitter is pretty heavily weighted towards the quarterbacks. Let me see if I can find this. Here it is. 52% say Josh Allen. 33% say offensive line. 14% say first pick Ed Oliver. 1% have somebody else in mind. Let's discuss when we return. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Steve and I back for one more hour. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.